go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. It wasn't a curiosity to see and to think, you know, hey, this will be important. I can maybe get some answers for my soul. No, he just wanted to see it because he thought it was intriguing. See, they didn't have Star Wars. They didn't have videos and movies and all of the stuff you and I, the elaborate deceptions. You know, the Bible talks about God's going to send them strong delusion. You know what the Greek word for delusion is? It's the word plane in the Greek. We get the word planet from it because in the days of old, before they understood the constellations and planets, some of like Venus and so forth would be like a wandering star because Venus would shine. And it was plane, it meant it wandered. And the word plane is the word delusion. Every time you go into a movie, they're going to make your mind wander. It's amusement. It means to have no thinking. They're going to tell you what to think. I grew up on Star Trek, so when they came out with the new Star Trek movies, I was intrigued on the first one, and the second one was a repeat of something else. And then the third one, they had Sulu kissing a man. And I said, I'm done. I got nothing. But they, what were they doing? They want everybody to accept everything, because obviously if you're in the starting year 22, 37, whatever it is, then, of course, you're going to have people who are gay, and that's fine, because that's the nirvana they're after. So listen, guys, you're living in a day of strong delusion, and this man only wanted to just find it as a curiosity. Even in Ezekiel's day, the Bible says after the temple finally fell, when people said it could never fall. By the way, there are a lot of people saying America could never fall. It's looking a little bit more crickety now. Okay, you can't go to a store without thinking, this is just weird, because it's changed. It doesn't look the same. But they said it couldn't fall, and when the temple had been taken, and it was totally desecrated, I don't see why they didn't think it would fall. I guess this frog in the kettle made them think, well, it's always been like that, but it hadn't. They had all these false images right in the temple. God let it fall. When it fell, they crowded in to hear Ezekiel, what he had to say in exile. They're all over in Babylonian captivity. What do you got to say to us, Ezekiel? And he thought, man, this is great. The church is full. Somebody, somewhere, get the doors, get the offering plates, get the ushers, you know, just do this. And God said, they're making fun of you, Ezekiel. They see you as one who sings a sweet song and plays well on an instrument. You see, we live in a day where people are intrigued, but they hate the good and love the evil now. And so now it's becoming a little bit more hostile. He desired to see him, verse 9. Now look at verse 10. It says, then the apostles, when they were returned, they told him all that they had done and went aside privately. And they went to a city called Bethsaida. The word Bethsaida means house, like Bethlehem is the house of bread. This is the house, Bethsaida, of fish, which is not without relevance to those who, if you follow me, you will be fishers of men, right? So this is one of those things. Jesus takes them to Bethsaida, gives them a little break. It was a little bit of a retreat from what the work that they had done. We don't know much about what they said. We can look at some of the synoptics, but what Luke is telling us here is they came back, told him things were done. Didn't talk about raising the dead. Didn't talk about healing hands that had withered. They had gone out and some neat things had happened. And you know what had happened? They preached the kingdom of God. When they preached the kingdom of God, and suddenly a person over here who had a big backpack might have felt like, you know what, I get it. And the moment they got it, they thought, you know what, I don't have to live like this anymore. And they began to chase Jesus. That's how his crowds grew. The more they heard about him, the more that they wanted to follow him. They returned, then they went to Bethsaida, and the people, verse 11, when they knew it, that he was in Bethsaida, they followed him. Why did they follow him? Because he was the king. These disciples were saying, he's the king, he's the Messiah. That's what they said. And they were telling him that the king, the Messiah, is on site. Now, they weren't high-minded people who thought, like some did, that he was going to maybe overthrow Rome. Maybe some of them did, because many would leave at times and then others would stay. But the fact is that the kingdom of God required a king. Jesus was the king. And they had been told that. And some of the stories you'd have, I mean, if you were the apostles, folks, they had a lot of stories. Do you know what he did? Let me just tell you, it was easy for them to preach because they were preaching from their personal eyewitness accounts. We were there when he calmed the waves and the storm on a boat. We thought we were dead. Jesus woke up, said, hush, and it was quiet on that sea. That's who he is. He's our king. Follow us. What's he done for you? What's your eyewitness account? Because you've got that if you've got nothing else. And then go from there, get more of the book, and you'll find other people's accounts in the Scriptures. And that abides. The Bible says that when they heard that he was there, what did they do? They followed him. They went over to where he was in Bethsaida. Goes on and it says that when they came, he healed them that had need of healing. Interesting. Because again, this is that word, iaomai, which has the idea of healing that which is morally askew. Bring free from errors and sins to bring one even to salvation. Isn't that interesting? The word has an idea of everything he said led them somewhere that they needed to be. Do you remember the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs and theirs only is the kingdom of God. Well, if that's what you're leading with, Jesus, I want to know how I get to be poor in spirit. Well, blessed are those who mourn. Why would I mourn? For they shall be comforted. I'll mourn because I realize I'm a sinner. You see, blessed are those who are merciful, but they shall receive mercy. And he gives a continuum. And what he does at the end of chapter 5 in Matthew is he says, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will perish. He says, you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You've got to be that. Okay, I'm exhausted now. And that's exactly what he wanted you to be. Get exhausted and let go of all of your self-congratulations. In a generation of narcissism, me-ism, and I'm the best and I'm the greatest. I remember hearing the story of Muhammad Ali. He was on a plane up in first class, you know, and you treat them a little more gently, I guess, on some of these big liners like a man like him would take. And then the stewardess comes along and says, excuse me, sir, but you're going to have to put on your seatbelt because, you know, we're about ready to land. He says, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she thought for a minute. She said, yeah, Superman don't need no plane neither. You see, you and I are living in a day of me-ism. You and I are living in a day where people think more of themselves than they ought to think. I can do anything. Now, that'll only get you so far because you're seeing the world come undone around you. So God's being merciful to let that happen. You know, God doesn't want anybody to go quietly to hell. So he will knock over some apple carts. He will disrupt some people's chill, as they say today, because he wants them to be thinking. So here he is. He's doing what he told them to do. He spake unto them in verse 11 of the kingdom of God. There it is again, the kingdom of God. And he healed them that had need of healing. He delivered them, if you will. It says, actually, those two words are different. The second word is therapeuo, that had need of special attention. These are people who maybe, like the woman with the affliction of the issue of blood, he said, it's okay, daughter, it's okay. It's okay. Your faith has made you whole. That's what he said to her when she touched the hem of his garment. He wasn't there to upbraid. He wasn't there to reprove and rebuke. He was there to save people. Just like he says in John 3, God loved the world so much he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he did exactly what he told the disciples to do here. In verse 12 it says, and when the day began to wear away, Jesus said, give them something to eat. In verse 13, after they said, you need to send them away, they need to go get food. Jesus said, give you them to eat. And they said, we can't do that. What do you want us to do? Go buy meat in verse 13? Now, if you're a Jewish boy, you probably would know this passage. The king is here. The king is here. You just ask him, do we need to go buy meat? No, I'm the king. I'm the king. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price, because I'm here. That's millennial kingdom going to be fulfilled completely and utterly. There won't be a need to make everybody poor so that the government can help us out. That's the devil's plan. He wants government to be God. And eventually, the Bible says they will worship, literally worship the dragon himself through the Antichrist who will come. That's when they begin to say it out loud. Listen to me. They're saying things out loud in the political arena right now you never would have thought they would have said out loud. Defund the police? Really? That's where we're going? I mean, we're talking about stuff out loud, they're saying. They're saying, no, there's nothing wrong here in Portland, and it is on fire. It's just a peaceful protest. I saw that gal, McAvaney. She was up there showing a video of what was really going on in Portland. Showed a video. And it's on fire. She said, I need to say this and I need to show this because a lot of people don't know. It's on fire. There's a woman walking away saying, I hope to a police officer, as she's, I think, being apprehended. She says, I hope you die. I hope your family dies. I hope everybody dies. And she's just walking with a little smile and proud of herself for being apprehended because she's a good soldier. What I'm saying is they're saying things out loud. And they're lying to you even though you know about COVID. They're lying to you even though you know about Portland. They're lying to you even though. Why? Because they're creating a narrative so that when the time comes, if President Trump gets reelected, what will happen is they will accuse him of falsifying information. If he wins, they're going to say, you know, he's going to have to send in his troops. And look, we knew he would do this. We're being herded. If you're not paying close attention to what's going on, we're being herded across our country. No, he says, you give them to eat. I only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he reminds them that he's the king. Made them sit down and he fed them all. Why? Because he can. Do you know he made an awesome world down here? Did you know that? This is a serviceable world. It brings forth seed. It brings forth fruit. And you know right now, you have to get things called heirloom seeds because our government has taken tomatoes and they've neutered them so you can't have your own seeds. Do you know that Whitmer took away the ability for people to buy seeds at the planting season in Michigan? She took away their ability. They could go to Walmart and they could buy their toilet paper and some food, but they couldn't buy seeds because she didn't want anybody buying seeds. Why? Why does the government want us to have no seeds? You have to get heirloom seeds because if you want to grow your own food. People are talking about, what are we going to do if things go sideways? You want to grow some food? You got to get those seeds now. Well, I show you that he fed them all because he can. In verse 18, another turn in the tale, as it were, it says, and it came to pass. As he was alone praying, and his disciples were with him. As he was praying, he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. He asked him, who do people say that I am? And right away, the thing about John the Baptist. Man, many people are saying that. That was Herod's thought. And he says, but who do you say that I am? And it says in verse 20, you're the Christ of God. You're the anointed one. They knew the anointed one would be a prophet like Moses, but greater than Moses, and you were supposed to hear him. They knew who the Messiah was to be. And the Bible says, Peter said, you're the Christ of God. And he charged them straightly and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Saying that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected, in verse 22, of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be slain, and be raised again the third day. Now, if ever there was a message that a congregation didn't want to hear, that was the one they didn't want to hear. They did not want to hear he was going to be slain. But even further, they didn't want to hear the second half of the message. If any man will come after me, verse 23, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And it says, and whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That's an interesting way he puts it, isn't it? Whoever would save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Play on words. Why? Because he wants you to want him. He woos. He romances you. He blesses you. He draws you. He shows mercy. Do you know where we'd be if Hillary Clinton had been voted in this past election? Now, I know politics. Hey, just a little heads up. Do you know the Bible is a lot of politics? Did you know it's all about kings and countries and boundaries? And there is an Ahab on one side who's got a Jezebel whispering in her ear. And then there's a King David or a Josiah on the other side. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.